present the News Quiz with your host, Miles Jupp.
Hello, and welcome to the News Quiz. We start with a cutting from the Hampshire Organic Gardening Group newsletter, read by Corrie Caulfield.
Come along to a talk by Kate and Eleanor about how to grow your own produce. Kate and Eleanor have been friends for 30 years, having met while pregnant through a mutual friend.
Our thanks to Richard Riding in Radlett for sending that in. Now let's meet the teams. Will you welcome first on my right, Mark Steele and Zoe Lyons. And opposite them on my left, Desiree Birch and Fred McCauley. Mark, who's issued a stormy regional forecast?
I don't really know what that refers to, but it's almost certainly going to be about Brexit. Most questions are now on anything, really. The first question on pointless, anything, is probably on... There has been a series of reports have come out, and they've been hovering around for ages, and the government's not released them, and that saying that that whatever happens with Brexit, we're going to be worse off than if it didn't happen. And then Ian Duncan Smith was as jovial as he always is on this, right? Because when he was asked, well, what you've got to say about this? You know, the government's own reports say that we're going to be worse off. He said, oh, don't take any notice of those. Our reports are always wrong. I mean, that's brilliant. Oh, don't listen to us. We're idiots. So what's the point of listening to us? So... And the more that somewhere voted for Brexit, it seems, the more likely it is that that area is going to be worse off because of Brexit. So this has just done people's heads. I mean, straight away, to start with, I think, with the referendum, a lot of people blamed the result on old people, but I think that's right. But then all these people, the people that the most angry people are the people on the side that won. Yeah, we won, and we ought to be coming out of Europe now. Well, we are. Yeah, and now that's what's making me angry. And angry about anything. I found a centipede in the house this morning. I said, what are you doing in here, you metric little bastard? We voted to get rid of you. Get out, you French foreign legs. I'm going to have an inchipede put in its place. I'm sick of it. Angry, angry, angry. And David Davis is the person doing it. I quite like him. He just sort of turns up like, oh, God, what are we doing again? Like he's the one who's turned up half an hour late. Oh, let's have a look at me cave. Oh, I haven't brought me papers at all to Brussels. I brought me MOT certificate by mistake.
So you think the leavers are angry. How do you feel about it, Mark?
I don't know, I mean, I did
ambivalent, that's the whiff I'm getting off you.
I just think it's... At the time of the referendum, I thought, I don't think it's going to be that disastrous, to be honest, but now I think it's just brilliant. I'm quite enjoying it, to be honest. It's just utter chaos. No one knows who's going to be Prime Minister in a week's time. They're only keeping her in because they think, oh, God, they don't know who to put in her place, do they? And, oh, I don't know, what about him? Well, he has been arrested for murder, what? Get round
she
that.
Still remains quite positive throughout the whole thing, which I don't know what she's on, really, because it's like she almost doesn't watch the news. I mean, I do have trouble sometimes making out what she is saying because her head is so firmly buried in the sand. It's all going to be...
Where are you at with all this, Fred?
Well, I noticed that Michel Barnier was in town, the well-known cosmetics giant, and... I also, for the first time this week, realised that the Brexit inner cabinet is called the Brexit war cabinet. And I don't know that that's a good idea. I don't think that's a good signal to send to the Europeans that we've actually got a war cabinet. As long as you keep the prefix Brexit, I think that's fine. And they got together on Tuesday and they thought, well, let's just tackle one really difficult issue, the potential border between Ireland and Northern Ireland. And they actually agreed on Tuesday that they should go away and think a wee bit more about it.
Desiree, you're presumably in awe of how well everything seems to be going and the way this sort of atmosphere of convivencia has descended over this nation.
Well, I have to be honest, I don't have anything insightful or clever to say about Brexit, which apparently means I could be the next PM. It's kind of amazing. I'm overwhelmed with this feeling of, like, is this still happening? Like, we're still doing this? Like, it seems like we should be at the part that you come to in every R&B song where the baritone comes in and he's like, baby, I'm sorry I tried to leave the single market. You can't believe what you read on a bus.
Well, I think there's a lot of negativity on this panel, and I think we need to be more upbeat about it.
You know, I guess down here, you know, there is debate over whether there should be a second referendum. Not such a big debate north of the border. It's coming, but people say, well, you can't have a second referendum because we've already triggered Article 50. I think we should just say, hang on, Europe. We didn't actually trigger it. We were playing with it, and it went off in our hands.
I think we're going to be all right if we can break this country's long-standing dependency on food, drink and shelter. This is the leaked report into the economic impact of Brexit, suggesting that in 15 years' time, the North East and the West Midlands will have sustained the biggest hits to economic growth. Not East Anglia, luckily, because by that time, it'll be long gone. The figures are based on a 15-year forecast, but can anyone really know what's going to happen in 15 years' time? 15 years ago, I was just a miner's son who wanted to be a ballet dancer, and look at me now. Unfulfilled, unhappy, and ballooning in weight. Also this week, Theresa May attended the Conservatives' black and white ball. Just a guess, but I'm going to assume there was more of one present than the other. 2 points to Mark. Zoe, for whom is sorry the most complicated word?
This is Amber Rudd, our Home Secretary, who this week has said that having the suffragettes posthumously pardoned for the crimes that they committed whilst protesting for women's votes would be complicated. Just glad that wasn't the attitude that the suffragettes themselves actually took when they were demonstrating for women's votes. One of them went, well, you know, Emma Lane, it's complicated, isn't it? You know, there's a lot of admin, they'll have to change the forms, you know. I mean, you think surely if you are the Home Secretary, there are certain strings you must be able to pull in a situation like this. That's the point of having a job like that. And let's face it, she wouldn't have that job in the first place if it wasn't for those women who'd gone out and protested for their vote. So... because it's 100 years since some women got the vote. It was quite a narrow band. It was women over 30 or who owned a property or were married to a man who owned a property worth £5 or more. And I read that and I felt really sad. I was like, wow, house prices have progressed so much more than human rights have over the last 100 years. So, yes, thankfully we have come an awful long way in those 100 years, you know. There's still a lot of work to be done. I mean, there's 50% women on the panel here this evening, and you think, is that real equality or just a money-saving device by the BBC? So, I don't know. I think Desiree and I are getting paid in lavender cushions and buttons, so I'm very happy.
Do you think she's unlikely to pardon? When she says she'll take a look, is that her way of saying, look, it's in the in tray and, you know, I'll get round to it when I get round to it? It's a sort of, you know, after the end of the tax year sort of job.
Yeah, I wonder whether there is a way round this, because some people who are big fans of the suffragettes, like Caroline Lucas, for example, have said that it would be to dilute the radicalism of the suffragettes to pardon them now. So I wonder whether a way around this might be to have a national lottery and 100 women that win the lottery are allowed to commit an act of arson against anyone they like. And they'll call it, you know, call it the Sylvia Pankhurst fire. And do you think? Or is that complicated as well?
Do you know, and I didn't know the difference between a suffragist and a suffragette, because we didn't get taught that at school.
Suffragist about... sounds like someone who's got a sort of weak hold on the subject.
I think it was the Daily Mail, wasn't it, who called them suffragettes. So they took that name. They were great. I mean, like, Sylvia Pankhurst was a... she was a dude. I mean, she learned jujitsu.
Was she?
She learned, yeah, she learned.
I kept that quiet.
She learned jujitsu.
That complicates the whole issue.
I'm talking about the serious point. No, she looked. She was sort of all in the East End and everything. She learned and then trained jiu-jitsu to resist, so that people could resist the arrest and stuff like that.
That is remarkable, isn't it? Because I find it hard to sort of tie my shoelaces when I'm wearing a corset. The idea of... These are the calls for suffragettes to get posthumous pardons, prompted by the 100th anniversary of the first women gaining the right to vote. The proposals would see all suffragettes convicted of criminal offences being pardoned and presumably the rerunning of the 1913 Epsom Derby. Home Secretary Amber Rudd said that granting the pardons would be complicated, explaining that many of the crimes committed, such as arson, are still illegal, which shows there is still some way to go until we achieve the arson-rich utopia that we all secretly long for. Nicola Sturgeon is backing the plan and said that at the same time it would put a lot of people's minds at rest if we could dig up Mary Queen of Scots and sew her head back on. Two points to Zoe. Desiree, who wants us to hear his healthy opinions?
Oh, God, this jackass again. All right. So,
sorry, I have to ask the questions. That is... That's kind of a game, you know.
Just doing your job. Now, obviously, I was referencing Trump, which obviously I should probably be less mad at him because he's the reason I get employed to come and talk about stupid things that he says and does. But he opened up his big fat mouth and his tiny little thumbs and was tweeting about why all of these people in Britain were protesting the NHS because it doesn't work and it's terrible. And meanwhile, they were protesting because they were trying to save the NHS, and he just, like, didn't watch anything besides Fox and Friends, and so he didn't find out what it was actually about. So, you know, he's put out ignorant tweets and everyone replied and he doesn't care. And he decided to respond by saying America should stage a military parade, but he wants to, you know, have like all of the U.S. military marching around showing how great we are because he went and saw one of these things in France and was like, we're going to have to outdo France because, you know, they're French and blah, you know, because he's like a grown-up child, you know, who wants to put on a military parade to show his affection and respect for the military, which is like making your wife, like on Valentine's Day, make you a steak and do an erotic dance because you would like have affection and respect her, you know? It just seems so tacky. You know, at the end of it, it's just like, you know, we're the number one military power in the world, which we don't need to show anyone. But, like, I thought about that, and I was like, oh, yeah, like, yeah, of course it's going to be tacky. This is a guy who has a golden toilet bowl. Like, you know what I mean? It's like, you know, well, even my poos need to know that, like, they're number one, you know? Like, that's, which, you know, they're number two, Donald, you know? Okay, anyway.
All I've written down so far is steak and erotic dance.
Next week, Miles, you know, just start planting seeds.
No, I'm going to start rehearsing. Yeah.
maybe someone else will take it over and it won't be a really tacky Trumpian one. It'll be a really camp one or something. Possibly, isn't it?
Yeah, opportunity for a bit of high art. It could be, yeah, he could get some of the sort of Vegas choreographers onto it and say, it could be a proper show, for heaven's sake.
Yeah.
Because we have, I mean, we've got the Trooping of the Colour, that's our own military parade, which I don't know if that counts as a show of force. sort of horses line dancing.
We can do even better than that, Miles. We've got the Edinburgh Military Tattoo. Wait till you see 8 sailors in 18th century costume get a cannon over a badminton net.
This is Donald Trump's attack on the NHS. He described it as going broke and not working, prompting a furious response on Twitter from Health Secretary Jeremy Hunt. As a result, Jeremy Hunt found his popularity soaring. He's now above Donald Trump, but still just below polio. Trump got his information about the NHS from Fox News, in between a segment about how all French people are gay and how to shoot your way out when you've fallen into your own fridge. Also this week, Trump announced that he has ordered the Pentagon to prepare a large-scale military parade, distracting Pentagon officials from their normal business of staring at a red button and wondering if today's the day. 2 points to Desiree. And at the end of round one, the scores are Mark and Zoe have 5, and Desiree and Fred have 4.
We start round two with a typo spotted in the Kensington and Chelsea Fregal website.
I have a sofa bed to give away. We no longer need it and would like it gone by the weekend if possible. It comes from a smoke-free home, it's in full working order, and the cover is made of Swede.
Thanks to Joe Graham for sending us that. Fred, who doesn't feel Tesco valued?
This is the equality debate. Well, there's no debate, really. But it's not just Tesco. All the others, there's various other shops as well. But Tesco might have a bill of up to $4 billion to settle. And I was wondering initially who came up with the figure of $4 billion. And I think it might be the legal team that are representing some of the people that are claiming for that. And if it's going to be backdated, I've got to ask this question about the BBC. Will the BBC be liable as well? Because for 18 years, I was employed by the BBC as a woman. win-win for me. And my very first Saturday job was stacking shelves for Tesco when I was a schoolgirl. So... pensions fully funded, Miles. But I think it's right that we have this debate because women have been underpaid and undervalued, and we would call it a stooshie in Scotland. There's been a real fuss. All hell will break loose when women find out that men have been paying less for shopping.
It's partly to do with people in the warehouses. Generally, they seem to get more money than people working on the shop floor. It's £11 now in the warehouse, maybe £8 average on the shop. I mean, trolleys, they get £1 an hour, pretty much. It's just why a lot of them are depressed and end up throwing themselves in canals. Mark, how angry are you about this?
I'm quite zen, as usual. I'm not a fan of Tesco's, whatever they do, really. It's so soulless, isn't it? I can't,
So you've been there for the atmosphere and left disappointed?
Yeah.
I read about this and then it made me understand why when I used to live by a Tesco Metro and they would never help you do anything there. And there was always this, I remember I went in and I was looking for oregano and I asked the woman, do you guys sell oregano? And then she's like, what? And I was like, do you sell oregano? And then she's like, do you mean oregano? And I was like, oh, clearly you know what the hell I mean. And I was like, if I just gave you $3 extra, would you suddenly understood my accent? And
I think if someone understands what oregano is, you should give him an extra £3.
How hard is it? How hard is that? Oregano, oregano.
I didn't know what
paper
you meant.
Paper folding.
I think questions on all of our lips, Desiree. Dried or fresh?
Tesco Metro, so I feel like we know the answer to that. Just the biggest case of dried oregano. Oregano.
This is the situation facing Tesco, who could be hit with a £4 billion equal pay claim. It's all because the predominantly female shop floor workers are paid up to £3 an hour, less than their predominantly male colleagues in the warehouse. We should point out that Asda and Sainsbury's are battling similar claims, although not Waitrose, where I assume all the staff are independently wealthy and simply work on the checkouts to see how the other half lives. The final nail in the coffin for female Tesco employees was when they realised that in the time they'd been working there, even the plastic bags had been given a raise. Anyway, this means I can now add the words, comrades, I feel your pain, to my usual checkout greetings of no, I don't have a club card, and yes, that is a lot of Savlon, we're a clumsy family. 2 points to Fred. Zoe, who's going ape for vape?
Oh, this is the Public Health England have come out and said that vaping should be allowed in hospitals to help people stop smoking and have gone so far as to say that the e-cigarette should be available on prescription. They've done several research projects on it and it's been declared as being far safer than actually smoking, but it does make you look like a massive dick. So there is that downside. Because vaping devices have got bigger and bigger and bigger. I saw a guy on one the other day. I thought he was playing the French horn. So they're saying that the vaping itself isn't bad for you. Some of the flavours are quite bad for you, apparently.
Cinnamon
is one of them. Cinnamon, vanilla and butter-flavoured vapes juices are the worst for you because they contain the most toxins. You go, vanilla, cinnamon and butter, that's a biscuit.
Well, butter, that would be like if you... I don't know, if you're like, oh, just trying to wean myself off toast.
Yeah.
I've got some butter-flavoured e-liquid, you know.
It is quite interesting, the flavours that people have gone for, is having, you know, maybe smoked Marlboro Red all of their life. They probably hated it, and they're like, oh, yeah, well, now I'm smoking cinnamon bum-bum and candy floss balls. You're like, oh, God, I'm pretty sure the Marlboro man would have turned to his grave if he'd known that's that.
Right. Yeah, I've been smoking sort of 40 Marlboro Red a day, but it turned out really what I've been after all these years is blueberry.
Don't they have, like, cheese and onion and that sort of thing?
I think they should test the resolve of the people that want to give up smoking. If they're going to get a vape machine from the NHS, they should make the vape machine the shape of a penis.
That's amazing because I do vape and I would just vape more if that were the case, to be honest. I'd be like, that's right, fellas, that's right.
Dental inhalers, they should be the same as well, shouldn't they? They should be penis-shaped.
Do you think that's...
Everything you get that you take
everything
orally...
Everything should be penis-shaped, shouldn't it?
If we're going to be pardoning suffragettes and giving Tesco's women more money on the one hand, yeah. On the other hand, make everything penis-shaped. It seems a fair deal.
The only thing I've got that isn't penis-shaped is my penis.
This is the recommendation from Public Health England that e-cigarettes should be available by prescription. Public Health England also proposed that hospitals should provide vaping lounges. Presumably some wards will now be so full of e-cigarette smoke it'll resemble a scene from a very bleak episode of Stars in Their Eyes. Tonight, Matthew, I'm having a length of my bowel removed. 2 points to Zoe. Desiree, have a listen to this.
Sure know how to throw a party, Miles.
Does that music mean anything to you?
No. I mean, it's... does that music mean anything to anyone?
It's a vital part of our culture. There is a question that follows that, but I have to ask.
Just well,
on
I'll
the basis of the incredibly blank look on your face.
Yeah, no,
while
I've
the rest
never...
of us were genuinely getting down.
What is that song? Do you guys sing it, like, at Christmas? What is that?
It's barely relevant. Desiree, who's flying south for the winter?
Yes, this is, I mean, all of the Olympians going to the Winter Olympics in South Korea. There's been this, like, big kerfuffle about the opening ceremony because of Vice President Pence is going, and it turns out that North Korea decided they're going to show up to the Games. And so, like, they're sending Kim Jong-un's sister, Kim Yo-jong, to, like, be the representative. And now there's this big, terrible wedding seating arrangement plan to figure out where everyone is supposed to go. You've got the bride and the groom, and then you've got the vice president who refers to his wife as mother, and then you've got the best man, which I think in this case is economic sanctions.
Are you going to be watching a lot of it, Mark?
Oh, well, I'm bound to, yeah. I can't help it with the sport. Although, really, even tests me, really, because really the Winter Olympics ought to be renamed 115 different ways of sliding, I think. Now for the start of the down-the-hill-on-a-wardrobe event.
I love it.
Well, I mean, Zoe and I are both skiers. Corey's a skier as well. Desi, do you ski? Miles?
Dear God, no. The last thing I need to do is, like, pick up momentum going down ice.
I just don't know how the skeleton and the luge, one's feet first, one is head first, and I don't know how you can really... rubbish at one and brilliant at the other.
Well, I don't follow, right? So ice dancing, I know it's very difficult, very athletic, right? They're all very good and all that. But that's not a sport, is it? It's just a thing you do and then someone's judging it.
No, but you can succeed or fail at it or whatever. Surely you can see how that, you know, it's...
Yeah, like, but if watching... it once you could have anything, you could say playing the xylophone is a sport. That upsets
Yeah, it's not
me.
A winter sport, though, is it?
If it's downhill xylophone.
Oh, yeah, yeah. These are the latest going on at the Winter Olympics, where there were concerns over a potential diplomatic incident involving the seating plan for the opening ceremony, with US Vice President Mike Pence seated just metres away from Kim Jong-un's sister. Seating plans are always a nightmare. For example, at my wedding, we had no idea where to put Kim Jong-un's sister. In the end, we put her next to Auntie Margaret, similar views on China, and loves a parade. The Winter Olympics will be an eye-opening experience for Kim Jong-un's sister, who up to now thought Skeleton Bob was simply the name of a dissident. Never mind, the Winter Olympics isn't really sport, is it? The luge is basically a power nap, and curling is essentially lawn bowls mixed with obsessive-compulsive cleaning. 2 points to Desiree. Before we reveal the final scores, has anybody got a cutting they'd like to share? Mark.
This is from Martin Berry, and this is like Wikipedia. You'll recognise the sort of the way it's written from the, if you've ever looked at these things. List of serial killers in the United States. This list is incomplete. You can help by expanding it.
Desiree.
Yes, well, I have this announcement of funeral details sent in by Edward Phillips. A private cremation will be followed by a celebration of his life at the Royal British Legion at 1:30 p.m. All friends are most welcome. Dress optional.
Thank you. And now let's take a look at the final score. Desiree and Fred have 8, but this week's winners are Mark and Zoe with 9. Before we leave you, here is an extract from the St. Helens Star, sent in by Cathy Noel-Smith.
The swimming pool at Queen's Park Health and Fitness Centre will reopen to the public after a lengthy closure for repairs, St. Helens Council has confirmed. The 25-metre, five-lane pool has been closed since the beginning of October due to tiles at the bottom of the pool being damaged by moisture.
And with that, goodbye.
Taking part in the news quiz were Mark Steele, Zoe Lyons, Desiree Birch and Fred McCauley. In the chair was Miles Duff, and the news was read by me, Corey Caulfield. The chair's script was written by James Kettle, Robin Morgan and Benjamin Partridge, with additional material by Laura Major and Ian Smith. The producer was Richard Morris, and it was a BBC Studios production.